Town Hall, Town Meeting open at 3:03. Over the page, attendance and apologies, everybody is here. Acknowledgement of country, I begin today by acknowledging the Panatoria and Panahia past peoples and the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today. And I pay my respects to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Right, we're away, people. So confirmation of minutes and correction of previous minutes, if needed to be, held on the 14th of November. Is there a mover and a seconder? Councillor Dornoff, thank you. A seconder, please. He wasn't here, Councillor Dornoff. You're too quick.
I was not, December.
I'll describe you off that and then ask for it. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Kelly, thank you. Any correspondence, any conversation, councillors? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Yep, thank you. That is all the councillors that attended that meeting. It is unanimous, thank you. Declarations of interest. Any declarations, General Manager?
No declarations.
So you've got the council workshop reports, which is in front of us there. Nothing to add to that one. Over the page to Mayor and Councillor reports. They're listed there. Are there any... nothing to add to that one. Any councillor announcements and acknowledgements, please? Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to... actually, I'll start again because I've written something. It was with sadness that I acknowledged the passing of Hilton Chilcott on the 28th of December 2023. Hilton died as a result of a motorcycle accident in the south of the state that has left his wife Karen critically injured. Karen remains in hospital but is making small wins every day. They were on a long-awaited and overdue holiday that I know Karen had been so looking forward to. Both Hilton and Karen were part of the team at Cafe Karma in Westbury, along with their daughter Amanda. They opened the cafe in October 2021, and it soon became a much-loved eatery and social space for Westbury locals and visitors. Karen and the team regularly contributed to community events through participation and sponsorship. They were not so good at trivia nights, but what they lacked in trivia know-how, they more than made up with their awesome costumes and community spirit. All of this endeared them to the heart of Westbury. The Westbury and surrounding community of Meander Valley has been shocked and saddened by the news of the accident, which spurred everyone into immediate action, providing what support we could. This support not only reflects our love and care for the Cafe Karma team, but also what a wonderful, kind and caring village Westbury is. If one of us hurts, we all hurt. I know I speak on behalf of the Westbury community when I extend my deepest condolences to Karen and Amanda and all the Chilcott family. Hilton will be missed. We also wish Karen healing and comfort.
Thanks, Councillor Loader. Condolences also to the family. Any other councillors with... acknowledgements, comments? Councillor Dornoff.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, I'd like to thank you, Councillor Loader, for your comments there. They're obviously from the heart, and it goes to show the amazing community that we've got here in Westbury and in Meander Valley as a whole. It's a pretty tough act to follow, I suppose, but... for me, it's been 412 days that I've been on council since our election. I was certainly hoping that it would be 1460, the full totality of our 4 years. But my partner and I have decided to move abroad for 1 year of work and travel. And as such, I don't believe that I can continue with the full 100% commitment that I should have in this role. And as such, I will be stepping down at the beginning of February. I have thoroughly enjoyed my time within the last year and a bit. Firstly, with my fellow councillors, getting to know each and every single one of you, understanding how we can best work for each other to then best serve the community has been one of the great joys that I have every second Tuesday of every month, and then obviously in between as well. And I can't thank you enough for your kindness, support, and often wisdom on Ben's behalf when I have some item that is certainly over my head. I would like to also extend my thanks to the council staff who have been extremely accommodating, extremely patient with someone that was quite foreign to this world before I came into it. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for your approachable nature and understanding and ability to work with someone obviously that didn't have that level of experience. I've enjoyed my time on the Emergency Management Committee. I've thoroughly enjoyed some items pertaining to the Deloraine Sporting Precinct and seeing the progression over the last year and a bit, and obviously seeing that the items for the upcoming year and into the future. I think we're in a really good spot. And the last person I'd like to thank is our General Manager. Your kindness and leadership from the first time that I met you at the Carrick Hall during our election campaign, you were someone that gave me all the time in the world, not knowing whether I would be on council or not. You extended multiple invites for discussions and tutorage throughout this time. It was a pleasure being involved with the process of you becoming General Manager, and I think it's the best thing that we've actually done as a council in the last 12 and a half months, or upwards of 12 and a half months. So thank you very, very much. I look forward to watching from a distance. It will be quite tough in Switzerland and Italy and Croatia, so spare a thought for me. But I will be back soon. I look forward to re-immersing myself back into the Neander Valley at some stage. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Councillor Dornoff. On behalf of your fellow councillors, I guess, best wishes, bon voyage, come back. I'm sure there'll be a seat at the table in years to come if you so choose. Hopefully we haven't scarred you too much. Hopefully you will think about that in the years to come. But no, seriously, have a good trip, Lockie, enjoy it. You're young enough to do that, so yeah, best wishes. Yeah, right on. And I just want to make a couple of announcements. Meander Township suffered quite a few passing of older people lately. We saw the funeral of Joan Broomall yesterday, 90, coming on to 91. Unfortunately, we've got another one with Robin Dixon coming up on Friday, former person of Meander, and the 80-year-olds are copping a bit of a shellacking this year, unfortunately. So it's condolences to those families out there, and they'll be well and truly missed. I guess what the current generation of people in our municipality don't realise is how much work the older generation, those 60, 70, 80-year-olds, 90-year-olds, put in to make what we've got here today. And it's, times were tough back then. So, condolences to their family. So, Councillor Dornoff.
As a further addition to that, and it's quite pertinent, we sadly lost Brett Shorty Hamill. Who lost a battle with terminal cancer. I don't know the tenure that he had at Delquip. I'd suggest it would be over 20 years. He'll be sadly missed. He was an amazing mind for the community. If you look at a lot of the assets around the town, a lot of them would be touched by Brett Hamill. So my condolences to Ryan and the Hamill family. And I wish them all the best.
Thank you. Any else, councillors? Councillor Dubin.
Apologies for adding to what is a very large list of condolences for our first meeting, but also acknowledging that the passing of Brian Blaisley of Westbury as well, a much loved member of our community, will be sorely missed also.
I was going to say, Amber, you better.
Yes, later.
I'd also like to pass on our condolences to Heather Donaldson on the passing of her husband, Chris. Chris was a vet in the area for oh goodness, I think it was something like 35 years. Much love, such a kind and astute man, and I know many of us will be seriously missing him for a very, very long time.
Thanks, councillors. Moving along, thank you. Community representations, Neil?
No, there are none today, Mr. Mayor.
Righto. Moving into public question time, so we've got a question with notice from Robin Badcock, by two, and Helen Hutchinson, which have been answered in the agenda. And we'll head on to questions without notice. Are there any questions from the gallery? Thank you. Yep. One.
The Australian flag, well, one of the councillors please move a motion today that the Australian flag is flown every day at the council office is open from 8:30 to 5 p.m. as well as Australia Day without exception. I've been going on about this for 10 years. Then there was a precedent set almost 12 months ago. And I wrongly thought the flag policy would have been put up to council by now, but it's been open and transparent. As far as I know, that's not happened today. So the fact that the president has been said, all you need is a cost analyst, which would be zero as the staff do it now and do it every other day. Australia Day, you have several staff on salary and council cars, so one of them could do it without a cost. So please show some respect and pride to their country and fly the flag aloft the council buildings all days, not just when it suits somebody.
Thanks, Neil. General Manager, do you want to answer that one? Read question number two, Neville, please, while you're there. If you've got...
Australia Day Awards. Why are the Meander Valley Council Awards not held on the 26th of January? Was there elected members, senior management, delegation, people of Meander Valley, or big business idea? Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Neville. General Manager.
Yep, so through you, Mr. Mayor, I can probably make more comments around Neville's first question than the second, and I think that there's a few reasons why the flag hasn't been flown on every day. I guess the practicalities of having employees available to raise it, given the current circumstances, but I have had a conversation with Mr. Scott previously, and at that point in time we were investigating floodlighting and having the flags erected permanently. So that is still the current intent, Mr. Mayor. I think Mr. Scott's request was for a councillor to move a motion in order to achieve that. I don't think that's entirely necessary, but any councillor can choose to do that should they like to. As far as the second question Mr. Scott had around our Australia Day event occurring on the 25th of January, that has been the case for a number of years. It's not a political statement that council has chosen to make, which I think answers some of the points that he has made, but it's been that way. I couldn't tell you the exact date. It was revisited 2 or 3 years ago, and council decided at that point in time, the previous council, that it would continue on the night before, to enable councillors and employees to be able to attend other community events. We know that they occur in Chudley and Westbury and others. And that was a reason the council considered at that point in time.
Thanks, Chairman. I certainly add to that we certainly have considered having the night before then, because then it does allow basically the Australia Day and potentially the long weekend or the 3-day weekend to occur without staff and people that may receive awards to be turning up when they may have an extra holiday. So it was talked about then. That's the reason why. Obviously not a political statement at all, certainly not, but it's certainly something that we should consider every year when we head towards the day. So nothing further to add on that one. Thank you. Thank you for those questions, Mr. Scott. Any other questions? I guess not, because there's no one else in the gallery, so that's all right. So, public question time will cease. We'll head into questions, councillor question time. No questions without notice, no. Over the page. There was no questions with notice. Are there any questions without notice from councillors? Councillor Cameron, with your hand up.
Thank you. And following on from Mr Scott's question, I'd be happy to move a motion to raise the flag on Australia Day, but I would also like to investigate the flag policy. We probably should. So it's really a question. When have we got a flag policy? When's it due? I want to be able to move forward on this. As Mr Scott said, it's been a year since we discussed it last time, so maybe we should be moving forward a bit. Not very clear question.
So, through Mr Mayor, I can take the question. I'm not sure what the year date is referring to there. I guess I have had, I think Mr Scott said that he has been raising it for over a year, which is correct.
Yeah,
he has. 10 years, yeah. Right. Sorry, well, I can't vouch that. Look, there's a set of legislation around flags, Commonwealth direction on that. I guess there are reasons, as I said before, in the question from the public around having employees available to raise and lower the flags, making sure that they remain in a good condition. We don't want to be flying flags that are tattered or in disrepair and that sort of thing. The last conversation that I had with Mr Scott on the topic was that council was investigating having installation of flood lighting to actually be able to provide for them being flown all of the time. And that is still the intent. It's just that I guess the contractor the council was negotiating that with hasn't come through with a time frame and a quote for that work. So that's where it was previously. That's where it currently is. But I haven't asked the question of our infrastructure department in recent times to be able to give you a categoric answer about where that is. It's possible that the purchase order has been issued.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Can we have an update at one of our upcoming workshops on that item, please?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Councillor Dornock.
Through you, Mr. Fett, to provide clarity for the discussion of 1 year ago, I believe Councillor Kelly, from memory, raised the discussion of flag policy following our discussion on Ida Hobbit Day, I believe. And I think we were all in agreement that a flag policy should be constructed with the then GM at that time.
Yeah. Thanks, Councillor.
So, through you, Mr. Mayor, we can defer the item to a workshop discussion and look at what alternatives there are.
Thank you. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Try again, John. It's not quite. Hold it in for a bit longer, perhaps. You might have to bob a bit.
That's it.
Thank you.
I have three questions, Mr. Mayor. The first one is my usual concerning a proposed prison. Is there any? Have there been any developments since the last meeting?
Not that I'm aware of, John.
Thank you. My second question is, I've had a number of people from the community express concern about the rabbit population in the towns of Deloraine and Westbury. I was wondering if we know of any action that will be taken this season.
Yes, I too received an email, which I think I shared with councillors, from the gentleman at Deloraine. I actually spoke with him on the phone. And there's obviously been a rabbit population for quite a few years in Westbury and Mull Creek. Obviously, they're getting going a bit more in Deloraine at the moment. I think from memory, we might have written to the DPWI, which is now NRE, on two or three separate occasions, asking them what they're going to do about it. Their comeback is that it's to do with the release of the Khaleesi virus and the conditions that affect the release of the Khaleesi virus. So I haven't had a chance to catch up with the GM yet this year on that particular item, but it's one of my to-do things with GM to go back to, especially to that gentleman in question that raised it with us. GM, I don't know if you can add anything to that.
Yep, so through you, Mr. Mayor, I might invite the Director of Development and Regulatory Services to the table. He has spoken with the state governments about, as you've correctly stated, state government responsibility, but the Director has spoken with the state government about that.
Thank you, DM, through you, Mr. Mayor. I have had discussions with NRE, and a number of residents have also contacted us regarding the rabbit issue in Deloraine and Westbury. NRE are hoping to be able to do a release of Khaleesi virus, but as you alluded, it depends on weather conditions. They are hoping to be able to do it end of February, beginning of March. But at this point in time, they're not committing to that. The best thing that we can advise our residents to do is to contact NRE and advise them of the rabbit problems and the areas that it's occurring, because they are continuing to map the hotspots. And so if they're aware of the hotspots, that puts us up on the list for getting them to come to our area to provide some assistance.
Thanks, Krista. It's an interesting, and back to the conversation I had with the said gentleman, it was he's actually doing a little bit of poisoning himself, which is legal. You can actually buy bunny bait. It's poisoned oats. You can actually lay them on your own property and do them yourself. So he's actually been doing that himself as well. So maybe some of the landowners and ratepayers can do it themselves, because it's, as I said, it's not always a council issue.
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
You can also get assistance through NRE to help do some baiting on your own property as well, but there are rules and regulations and permits required for that.
So, anything else, councillors? Councillor House?
Well, I had a third question.
Oh, sorry.
By me.
Councillor Temple.
Councillor House. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've had a number of ratepayers speak to me with concerns about long grass on roadside verges and wondering what our program is this year. And I also note that a number of them have expressed concerns on what state growth roads within our municipality, so they're probably not aware of which is which. But I wonder if the GM can give us some information on the current program. Thank you.
I certainly can, Councillor Temple. So I guess I'd like to start by mentioning the second part of your question, which is around state roads. If members of the community have concerns about roadside vegetation on state roads, I encourage them to contact the Tasmanian Government, Department of State Growth. They can be phoned in the north on 1-800-030-688 or by emailing info@stategrowth.tas.gov.au. I say that because the customer is best placed to be able to describe the location and the details, and then if State Growth have any issues, that they can contact the customer directly to work through that. So referring those to council isn't in the best interest of the customer or either getting a resolution. We have an ongoing program through this period of the year, councillor, around roadside management of roadside vegetation. Our works crew was working on roadside slashing right up until the last day prior to their break, which I think was the 21st of December from memory, and they'll recommence that program when they come back to a full complement of staff following the break. And that varies, it's ongoing. Some of it is spray, but a lot of it is also via mechanical drive tractor, and will depend on the weather conditions at the time. And you may be seeing the grass rising due to a couple of small isolated rainfall events, so that influences it as well. So there's a couple of comments.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Temple. Councillor House.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Something I was going to raise maybe in a workshop, but it's probably timely to raise it now when we've been speaking about some pests such as rabbits and deer in days gone by. One of the issues that some residents have made me aware of around Prospect Vale in particular are peacocks. Peacocks are something of a nuisance, depending on who you talk to. They're more of a nuisance to some than others. Unlike rabbits and deer, they make a lot more noise, and there is a suggestion that they might even be causing something of a health issue. So I just want to raise it, if I could. Maybe we can have it as a discussion. I don't know whether that's a discussion that
we would have with NRE or something like that, but they are becoming problematic. And you know, I don't think it's the only place in the municipality where they are becoming a problem, but it's certainly notable in around Prospect Vale, particularly around Harley Parade, those areas. So just raising it for at this point in time, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor.
They're really good eating, Kevin.
Are they?
Beautiful.
Ooh, that's what they should
do. So through you, Mr. Mayor, so we'll defer that item to council, council workshop discussion as requested by Councillor House there, but yeah, a very, very small number relative to the population. And as Councillor House has said, in Prospect Vale, Elizabeth Town and Westbury, anecdotally, there's been occasions where we've gone out on site to address customers' concerns and couldn't be located. So, but we can talk about that at a workshop.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Sinfield. The microphone, councillor.
Just an off-the-cuff one. As most of you are probably aware, I had an incident at the public meeting in Carrick a month ago after the last council meeting. Provided some entertainment that I didn't intend to provide. So I'd like to, if I may, worded as a question, it's almost indulgence, is to thank Councillor House for sticking in there to the end until I'm carted off in the ambulance. But it sort of touches on the question asked by Helen Hutchinson in the minutes about Council investigating providing public accessible call areas for all at-risk residents who are those over 65, frail, elderly and the very young. I assume the only group, since I'm not 65, that I fit into is the very young. But, I did come to grief that day. It was very hot, so I suppose my question is, we've noted in the answer to Ms Hutchinson that the policy's up for review, but maybe we need to go a bit further and perhaps review the functionality of some of our halls, etc. I mean, that hall is surrounded by large trees, but it was extremely hot in the room. I guess my question is, can we do a bit of an examination of not every place in the municipality that we have as assets functions quite like this room or this building? That would be my question.
Thanks, Councillor Sinfield. I'll take that on notice.
Thank you.
Anything else, councillors? And I hope you're feeling better, councillor, by the way, too.
I'm not 100% sure on that one.
And it's good that Councillor House hung around to the end where other councillors just left.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Okay, moving on. Righto, thanks, councillors. Moving on to our... So there are no planning items, so we don't have to act as a planning authority for this council meeting. So we're moving on to the review of policy number 89, camping on council reserves. We have a recommendation there for us. Would somebody like to move and somebody like to second that, please? Councillor Kelly is a mover. A seconder, please. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor Kelly is a mover.
Thank you. Right.
Councillor Dudman.
No, okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, a question.
Councillor Cameron for a question.
Thank you. So some time ago, this was quite a big issue for us at council when I first came to council. So I'm just interested to know how you feel the policy's worked and have there been issues that this policy sort of sorted out, or are you pretty happy with the way that things have been operating? Nobody's been too upset?
You.
Not really a question.
For you, Mr. Mayor. The policy has been operating for 4 years and quite successfully. We've had a reduced number of issues at council-operated camping sites.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
Good. Any other questions or comments, councillors? Shaking of heads. Everyone's happy. That's good. Councillor Dudman as the second. Councillor Kelly as the mover. Oh, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. That's unanimous. Thank you, councillors. So the next one is page 19. Development and Regulatory Services, Delegation of Land Use, Planning and Approvals Act. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second that, please. Mr. Dudman, they're a little bit slow coming back off their break at the moment. A seconder? Anybody? Oh, Councillor Dornoff. Councillor Dudman has moved the motion.
Yes, I think I better speak to something if I'm going to end up moving everything today. Look, I think it's a positive step forward, and this is going to clear up a lot of different matters within, obviously, the delegations that we provide towards the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act. And really want to take this opportunity to thank Thomas as our new strategic planner for the work that he's doing. He has come into the role with quite the workload to get through, and he's taking it in his stride, and I hope he has a very long career here at council.
Me too.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Dornoff has a second.
Only the echo thoughts of Councillor Dudman. I think it's just streamlining a process that was quite convoluted beforehand, so in favour.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. Nothing? Okay, no comment, no discussion. Anything to add, Councillor Dornoff? If not, go back to Councillor Dudman. Anything to add? Okay, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? So, in favour was Johnson, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Dornoff, Temple, Loader, House, and against was Councillor Simpson.
No, I was against as well.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Councillor Temple. My apologies. So we're over to page 55, isn't it? I missed that one. Corporate Services Financial Report to the 31st of December. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second that. Councillor House, thank you. Second it. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor House as the mover.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank, first of all, just for putting this report together, as he always does. It's very diligent, very well prepared. Thank you. Clearly outlines where anything, where there might be some anything below budget or any reasons, they've all been well explained, any exceptions, and the trends report are all very clear. It was actually raised in the audit panel meeting of how well prepared these numbers are. So, as always, it's a pleasure to look through this financial report. Justin, thank you.
Thanks, Councillor House. Councillor Dudman is the second on the motion.
I concur with Councillor House as to the quality of the submission. I will ask a question in relation to page 65. Under 315 cemeteries, there has been expenditure for Deloraine Lawn Cemetery concrete slabs. We're at a percentage of total budget at 144.86%. Could you explain the larger than expected cost for that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not across the specifics of that project. Apologies, Councillor, and we don't have our Director of Works here to answer the question, so unless the Acting Director of Infrastructure has any insight.
I might have to.
I trust that it is in line with the expectations of our community.
Councillor Dudman. Councillor Kelly.
Just a simple one. On the grants and subsidies, we've got a few of those.
Councillor Kelly, can you use a microphone, please? Leave it in for a little bit longer. Yep.
Yeah, Justin, on the grants and subsidies.
Mine's been strange, did you want to tell me?
Yeah, it is. It's there. You've got it.
On the grants and subsidies, we're down a fair bit on what's budgeted. I imagine there's an explanation for that one. It should be relatively simple.
Yes. Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's very much a timing issue with the grants and subsidies here. So there's some some significant grants still to be received this financial year, particularly in the recreation and culture function, the squash courts, and also the Deloraine Recreation Ground Precinct project. And it's also impacted by the timing of the financial assistance grants we get through from the Grants Commission. So, but at this stage, we're expecting that they will come through this financial year.
I just feel I need to contribute. The last point that Justin made around the financial assistance grants is that that's actually $5 million worth of those grants that was received in June last year. So the timing of that means it's recognised as revenue last year. So that'll continue to be under budget when we get to the end of this financial year because of that fact. So $5 million has actually been received in advance.
Yep.
Thank you. Any other questions, councillors? Take that as no. Second on the motion, Councillor Dudman. Anything to add? Councillor House is the mover. Okay. Put the motion, councillors. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands.
Aye.
Against? That is unanimous. Thank you. Two. One should say governance, but it's actually council board panel meeting.
Yeah, it's on page 74.
Yeah. Okay. So, council audit panel minutes of meeting. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second that, please. Wow, that's a dead heat. They're both here. Go again. Councillor House is a mover. Councillor Dudman is a seconder. I can see that coming. Councillor House is a mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, it's a great pleasure to be on that audit panel with my colleague, Councillor Dudman. I've already mentioned the work that Justin does and so many others too. To put these reports together, but maybe just a couple of things that I thought of. No, there's 13 people in attendance, including two on Zoom, if I remember right. So it's a very comprehensive overview of everything that the council is doing, and I think it's a credit to the council in the way that the reporting is done. And some of the things that were mentioned here within the report was there was no high risk findings. Nothing identified there, no issues of non-compliance. A number of policy changes were endorsed, as noted in the report. Some of those will become workshop items. But I just want to thank, you know, it's really a pleasure to be on that committee because of the work that goes in preceding that committee meeting. Everything's very easy for us to work through. So thank you again.
Councillor House, Councillor Dudman.
I don't think I could put it any better myself, so I won't even attempt to. Thank you, Councillor House.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. Questions? Comments? Nope. I don't think I'll even go back to this mover and seconder because I'm sure you've already started up. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. So we're moving on to page 84, which is the governance annual plan, December 2023, quarterly report. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Kelly, thank you. Seconder, Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor Kelly, as the mover.
Nothing to add.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Sorry, Councillor Dudman.
No.
No, fine. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Sinfield, with your microphone, Councillor, please.
Just a couple of very minor things in terms of wording. There's, for example, on page 95 of the agenda, there's annual projects. The activity, for example, second one says, develop a strategic workforce management plan to optimise skills, staffing levels, attraction and retention. That says the measure, strategy, delivered. And then it has a status of pending. And there's another one there in around page 94, says develop and implement a communication and engagement strategy, measure, completed, status, pending. So it's really just about the language, because in other places it's quite obvious that how the status relates to the measure, you might say. And there were just a couple of examples that jumped out at me. That's not a very minor thing.
That's fine. So, next, Councillor Sinfield. We have a look in the agenda item itself on page 97. Pending are activities that are deferred or cannot be commenced in the quarter due to an intervening delay that can't be resolved by council. Often that's an external factor that's influenced it. For both the two that you have raised, which was the workforce, strategic workforce management plan that was introduced by the previous general manager, and also sorry, I can't find it, but I think it was engagement strategy.
That was page 94, 4.1, develop and implement a communication and engagement.
Communication and engagement strategy, thank you. Yes, so for both of those projects haven't commenced. So whilst there was a target in the December quarter to have commenced and achieved some progress towards that being completed, they haven't been commenced at this point in time. We haven't had the resources in place to be able to deliver the project, and there have been other competing priorities. So those two haven't started yet, Councillor. That's why they are pending.
But I suppose that I just don't understand why under the heading of measure it says it's completed. That's my. It's just really the tension between the two headings, if you like.
Sorry, I understand your question now, Councillor. When the annual plan was established by council, I think that was the special meeting late June 2023. That's the measure for the target for the year. So, if you think about a strategy being developed, the measure is that it would be completed by the end of the financial year. Yep.
Thanks, General Manager. Any other discussion, councillors? No, you're all studying it, but they're not saying anything. So, have you got any questions, any discussion? If not, Councillor Dudman is the seconder of the motion. Councillor Kelly is the mover of the motion. All right, put the motion in. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. That is unanimous, councillors. Thank you. Moving on to page 100, governance, new policy number 96, safeguarding children and young people. I'd like to move, somebody would like to second that, please. Thank you, Councillor Dudman. Seconder, Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. No, I'm more than happy to move this important policy, which in today's context is, you know, always and ever prevalent. I think it's an important step for the Council to be taking, and furthermore, noting the review period of 12 months, I'm looking forward to strengthening it even more into the future, especially in consultation with advocates, supporters, and of course, victim survivors in the community.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cameron.
I didn't have a lot to add. I don't know. Wes, thank you for putting this together. You spoke really briefly in a pre-meeting about how you went about putting this together, and I just wondered if, for the purpose of those listening in, you might be able to give us a bit of a run through. You said that it was a first step in the important process, and that it was to be renewed within the year. Should we be able to just sort of wind back to where you were before?
So this is a relatively new piece of legislation that's come into effect as of 1st of January 2024. And there's quite a lot of requirements that the council is that has to meet. So this policy is an initial policy and reasonably high level, just to capture our commitment and direction towards compliance with the legislation. So I'll put a 12-month review on it, because I expect that there'll be a lot of learnings within the next 12 months and updates. And so in order to reflect those in our policy, that's why I put a 12-month date on it. So We'll continue reviewing it. We'll continue to put some policies and procedures underneath the policy in place. But this is just the initial step, as you mentioned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm very pleased that this is before us. As one of the 8,013 Australians that told their story to the Royal Commission into Institutional Child Abuse, I'm well aware of the personal issues that this brings up for many, and it's a hard one for me to deal with. My concern is where we're listing council facilities. The presumption, therefore, is that we're making council facilities safe. But, however, that doesn't extend through to if we've leased the premises to others. So I feel we've got to make it quite clear that it doesn't necessarily make it safe because it's a council facility.
Wes, General Manager.
So Councillor Temple's referring to the policy in the definitions area. It talks about council facilities being properties, buildings and facilities including parks and sporting facilities are owned and managed by Meander Valley Council, including those used by the public or available for hire. And as we have spoken about briefly, there's a point of difference between facility that is being used and an event that's being operated by council and those that are being leased out and being used and managed by different community groups. So the policy that's before you today that we're asking for adoption provides a mechanism for concerns to be reported back to council and then a process for us to investigate any complaints. So I guess in an event that we were to receive some, that we would investigate and make an assessment of that. But Councillor Temple is correct. Council, the must be a limitation at some point in council's obligation to be responsible. If you think about our parks and reserves that are available for community use 24/7, we can't accept responsibility for all of the public's use at playgrounds, for example, Councillor.
I can further add to that as well. If an organisation does lease the council premises and they are an entity that has to comply with this legislation, they would be required to under the lease. So in majority of leases, there is a requirement to comply with all legislation that's relevant to the entity. And so if an entity was to lease it and they did come under this legislation, then there would be an enforceable requirement under the lease for them to do it.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, if I can just reiterate my concern in another way. My concern is that I don't want a parent or guardian to presume a council-owned facility is automatically safe for their children or the children under their care.
So where do you think the responsibility lies, Councillor?
Oh, well, we are saying that it is the responsibility of whoever is leasing or those premises from us. And I understand that, and I agree with the General Manager and so forth, but I don't want people to just presume that because it is a council facility, it is therefore safe. And I want to get that message out there. No, I don't mean shout it from the rooftops by any means, but I don't want people to think that if it's council, it's automatically safe, because we're saying it isn't.
I can understand where you're coming from, Councillor. This policy is a new policy. We haven't had a policy in place prior to this. Every other council in Tasmania are doing something similar because of the requirements of the state government that's been put upon us. The state government are still drafting up policy as we speak, and Local Government Association of TAS are also. drafting up policy. So I guess I hear concerns, but we're looking at a 12-month policy at the moment, which I think is potentially there will be some movements as months go forward. I can't answer your question, Councillor. I don't read it the same way that you do, but I can understand where you're coming from. I can't give you an answer, neither can the General Manager or Wes, by the sound of it, to the question you're asking.
I don't want in this 12 months for some kid to go along to something and to change their whole life.
I totally agree, Councillor. Totally.
And I'm concerned that a parent may or guardian may presume that council are running it, so it's got the seal of approval, if you like.
So I guess then potentially in the lease arrangements we put out on our facilities, you're asking for some wording to say that all due care is taken. I don't know how we...
Well, yeah, it's just that, yes, you understand where I'm coming from.
I do, but Wes has worked at this, and as I said, there will be changes in months to come. I don't know how we get it quite to where you see it to be at the moment, Councillor. I understand what you're saying, I do. But that's up to the GM and the staff to... Yeah, please, General Manager.
Yep, so... Look, we'll note your comments, Councillor, and any new leases that we enter into, we'll bear that in mind. I guess that's point one. And the policy that's before you that we're asking you to adopt is to bring about a greater level of compliance and to bring in a mechanism for people to be able to report. So it's actually going to be better off for community members if this policy were to be put in place.
It is, but it's just that... I'm concerned there'll be the presumption that it's a council-owned facility, therefore it's safe, where if it was something that happened in, you know, someone's club rooms or someone, parents or guardians may look at it a little more closely before they allow their children to go to that event unsupervised by themselves.
Take your concern on board, councillors, and as the GM said, we'll have to look at that when we look at leases come through. Councillor, is relevant to this conversation, another question? Yeah. Okay.
So when new developments come to light, could the policy be reviewed sooner than 12 months? Is that what you're saying, just to plain English?
So the way the policy is worded is reasonably high level. So... if there's a fundamental change over the next 12 months, then yeah, there is scope to renew before then. However, the intent of having a high level is so we can create procedures that sit underneath the policy so we can enact them a little bit quicker than bring a policy to council making alterations to that policy. And we can put a procedure in place and then reflect that in the policy at a later date as well. So it's quite flexible in terms of how we will be with this legislation and policy moving forward.
So when could we expect to see some procedures around the matters that Councillor Temple is raising?
In terms of that specifically, it's very unclear at this stage how the requirements under the Act are going to translate to day-to-day operations. So we won't know the details of that until I guess the regulator and the legislative body provides more guidance and material. So as that happens, we will address, I guess, the respective areas and create procedures around it. An example of that is a reporting mechanism. So very shortly we will be putting a reporting mechanism in place on our website and a paper form so people are able to report under the legislation. And so that's one example, but I guess we won't know more until it's developed in terms of the state government and other councils and a few sections of the Act are tested. So at that point, we'll know a little bit more.
Thank you. Other councillors, Councillor Kelly Cannon and Councillor Dornoff.
Look, I find this very complicated to read and understand. I think there's lots of duplications and I'm battling with things a little bit. It would have been nice to, and I know that there's probably put the onus on each individual council to come up with something, be because there's nothing really permanent in place. But it would be nice to have something that all councils across the state have that's in line and not just made up nickety-pickety. There's just a point there, just on page 106, where it talks about the Meander Valley Council may engage an external third party for the purpose of conducting an investigation and report of allegations of abuse. Straight away to me, that's TAS Police. And this is where I'm... Why wouldn't they be the people that you would engage?
No, so there's, under the legislation, there's an obligation on councils and an avenue for people to report conduct to the Meander Valley Council or other organisations. So just to also backtrack a little bit, this legislation doesn't just apply to councils. Councils are just one type of entity that it applies to. So in the event that they report to a council, we are required to investigate. So I have developed this policy in conjunction with other councils around the state. So they, as you said, we all have to do our own policies, but there has been some discussion and sharing of policies, and they are somewhat similar, but a lot of councils still don't have anything in place or still don't have draft policies. This may not be perfect, but it is... it's aiming to get towards best practice in compliance with the Act. So that's why I put a 12-month review period so we can develop it.
Follow up, Councillor.
Yeah, look, I do understand we've got to start somewhere, Wes, but it still has to be practical and workable. Are there organisations out there that specialise in investigating into these types of allegations?
No, that's the other complication with this. Because it's new legislation, no one really has experience with it. So there are organisations and entities that do investigations that are somewhat similar, for example, workplace investigations, but it is a completely new piece of legislation. So there will be the option to potentially get external help, but once again, no one at this stage that I'm aware of has ever done an investigation under this Act. So it's completely new.
Just a simple one. With something like this, I think the pressure should go back on the state government to come up with an organisation that has the expertise so that we can touch base with them if we feel the need that something needs to be investigated.
While I may agree, unfortunately, the legislation is now in place and we do have to comply with it. So we have to deal with the legislation as it is. And I know there are organisations out there, including councils and LGAT, that have been in touch with state government about this, but unfortunately we have to deal with it the way it is at this stage.
Councillor Dorner.
Two-part for you, Ms. Mayor. I'd like to thank Councillor Temple. Your comments are moving and your passion is quite evident in this area. Thank you very much. And I think that your passion will be leading in the development of this policy into the future. And the second part is... I'd like to acknowledge that Councillor Sinfield has left the room and will be presumably absent from the vote and presumably on toilet break.
That's presumption. I've got no notification from Councillor Sinfield as to why he left the table, but anyway, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Councillor Sinfield simply asked me if I'd let him know when this item had concluded.
Well, it would have been good if he actually let the chair know that he was doing that rather than just getting up and walking out.
Please take that matter up with him, Mr. Mayor.
I will. Thank you. Anything else, councillors?
Well, just to come back to my earlier point, just to put my concern another way, is my concern is at the moment a parent or guardian may do substantial investigation before they allowed their child to attend something. My concern is that this and what may stem from it will tell them that if it's happening at a council facility, there are safety measures in place. And that's not actually the case if it's a premises that's been leased from the council to another organisation. And I don't know if we need to be explicit on that somewhere.
That will probably depend on whether the actual legislation allows us to do that as well.
So on that, if there is activity in which children will be engaged in through an entity that is leasing a premises, they will have to comply with this legislation as well. So this policy is to reflect the requirements under the legislation.
Yes.
And it's a requirement to have a commitment and work towards and be compliant with the legislation.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, councillors? Nope. Councillor Cameron, you was the second on that motion.
Nothing.
Thank you. Can you general manager? Oh, isn't it on? Oh, there you go. It's all right. Councillor Campbell is seconder. She's following. Councillor Dudman as the mover of the motion. Nothing to add. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
That is unanimous for the councillors at City. Councillor Sinfield is absent. Thanks for returning, Councillor Sinfield. It would be good if you, next time you choose to leave the chambers, you would just let me know that you won't be participating in an item that's on the agenda. Thank you. Moving on, future of local government review, final report submission. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second that, please. Councillor House, thank you. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor House is the mover of the motion.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, not much really. I just think that reflects very accurately the discussions we've had, and it also reflects the position and level of support within the community that we've that's been given to us in, you know, since this has started. So I'm happy to support the motion.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cameron.
I've not a great deal to add. I just, other than to say, appreciate the work that GM John and everybody else put into this, because we did go through it line by line and we had a very, very good discussion about it. So I do appreciate that, and that is much appreciated.
Thank you. Open up to Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'd like to say thank you to you, GM, for putting it together. I have waded through the 200-page report. If anybody's suffering from insomnia, I can really recommend it. Basically, I've been disappointed with the whole process of this review. There's so much more that could have been done. It's always good to review and evaluate whatever's been done. But the fact that the review board seemed to come with a stick rather than coming to talk to us about how councils could work together. What do we do well? How do we already work together? How could we possibly extend that? I just go, you know what? I just don't feel that they were the right people to be doing the review, quite frankly, if I can be so blunt. I think the approach of coming and working with us would have been a much better outcome. And I look forward to seeing how we can work with other councils even more than we already do. But it's always good to be glass half full people and look at what we're doing well rather than coming and saying, you have to do this and you have to do that, because that's going to get people's backs up every single time. I also want to acknowledge that what was discussed has basically come from the community. No one is more surprised than I am. That's even the people who have been very critical of council in the past don't want to see any changes here. They like us as we are. They think we're doing the best job anyone can do. Yes, I note your smile there, Johnson.
I too was surprised.
Yes, I was really surprised. And I feel that we have taken consultation to a high level, and this motion reflects that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other discussion, councillors? No, I agree with what's been said here before. Certainly, we did go through this, as Councillor Cameron said. We did listen to what the community told us, and they told us in no uncertain terms. I agree, Councillor Loader, we do need to be more proactive with our fellow councils to see how we can better engage. But again, it's time, it's personnel, it's all those things that are upon us. And it will be interesting to see where to from here. So we look forward to that. Anything else, councillors? If not, Councillor Cameron, anything to add? Just second it.
No, I need to just to add, when we were going through it line by line, a lot of the things I think the group here, you know, we thought, don't we already do that? And that's because we do. I think we operate really well. And of course, we would like to see other councils to our standards. So
we won't mention any. Okay, Councillor House, anything to add? Thank you. All right, I'll put the motion and all those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. That is unanimous, councillors. Thank you. Moving on to community wellbeing. Community wellbeing, which is community grants and sponsorship fund.
Yeah, I just...
Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second? Councillor Loader, thank you. Seconder, Councillor House, thank you. Councillor Loader is the mover.
Thank you, Mayor. This was my first time sitting on this grants committee, and it was really interesting to see the process and how thorough it is. So, yes, that's all really exciting to see that we can support varied community members and community groups in this way.
Thank you. Councillor House.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, further to that, I'd really like to thank and congratulate Nate on the work that he does with this. I mean, he really goes above and beyond, I think, with his community grants. He keeps in touch. He's really proactive in relation to this, and I think it's a great credit to him. And it's very good for, you know, it's a great opportunity for council to be able to support a lot of these recipients. So, again, it's an honour to be part of that committee.
Thank you, Councillor House. I'm up for discussion, Councillor Kelly.
Just a quick question. The Girl Guides says Central North. Where's Central North?
They meet in Carrick?
Yep.
Good. Thank you.
Is that where they're based?
Sorry?
Based in Carrick?
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, I think you could say they're based in Carrick, but they're wide reaching from Hadsburg.
Yeah,
I think there are girls from Prospect even that are in that group. And also from here in Westbury.
General Manager.
Yep, just a comment. Councillor, I think the policy is written located in or benefiting the Valley community, so I think they'll comply.
Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Cameron.
Just to say that I was absent from that meeting because I was attending the Hagley Farm School Assembly, but again, always really appreciative of the work Nate does, and it's nice to see such a varied lot of groups and location right across the municipality. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dornoff.
Just a point of clarification for the DEM. When a committee requests a grant of a certain figure and it is approved by council, why do we round up? For the example of the Deloraine Table Tennis Club, grant request is 1297. We provided 1300. For the Prospect Hawks Football Club, they've requested 1682, and we provided 1690. Is that just a sheer coincidence, or is that...
I could sort of answer it, and John's going to probably give you the number-crunching answer. But sometimes on the applications, it might be their overall cost is, you know, XYZ, and they may have had a little miscalculation sometimes with their GST and things like that. And so because we have experts on how to calculate GST, sometimes there are little tweaks here and there. So that could possibly be why there's some slight changes.
Yeah.
Is that
Councillor Cameron's, Councillor Cameron is right. Some of the volunteers that we receive paperwork from doesn't have the GST treatment, 100% correct, and that's fine. In the instance that that you have identified, Councillor, I'd say it's just around it. It looks as though the groups that have submitted the request for funding have also with an element of co-funding from them as a group. Some do. They do have a financial capacity to contribute to the project. Some of them don't, you know, have that ability to do so. So it looks to me, I mean, the Prospect Hawks Football Club, which is one of the ones that you mentioned at time. It looks as though they've just aimed for about 50% of the funding coming from council and 50% from their own group. So it's just showing that they would like to see the project occur and have a willingness to contribute to make that happen. So that's that one. The Deloraine Table Tennis Club, given it's only $3, I'd say it's just to round it to the nearest $10, and that they would be contributing $277, so they're making a small contribution themselves.
Thank you.
Thanks. Anything else, councillors? Councillor Lada.
We thanked Nate, but I think we should also thank Carl and Justin for their contributions as well.
Cool. Councillor House, is the seconder? Anything to add?
Nothing to add.
Councillor Loader is the mover. Nothing to add. Right, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. Thank you. Getting towards close the meeting.
Yeah. Before you close the meeting, Mayor, I just wondered if you might accept a motion from the floor. I've never done this before.
Okay. I'm game.
Do I just read it out?
I reckon.
Okay. So I'd like to move a motion that Council ensures that the Australian flag is flown at the Westbury Council Chambers this Australia Day, with a flag policy to be discussed and implemented within the next 12 months.
Okay, we'll wait for that to be...
I can email it.
Yep, put up on the screen so everyone can see that.
Do you want me to email it to you, Wes?
No.
So, just read out again, Councillor Cameron, please.
That Council ensures that the Australian flag is flown at the Westbury Council Chambers this Australia Day, with a flag policy to be discussed and implemented within the next 12 months.
Okay. I'll accept the motion if there is a seconder for the motion. Whoa, look at him go. Move, Councillor Cameron. Seconding, Councillor Kelly. We'll just wait. You're happy for that too.
Can you read it again, please?
Yes. Except I just sent it to Wes. Hang on. Too much.
Okay. 6 months would be better. Need to be 12.
Thanks, sorry.
Given what Council Dornoff said earlier on about.
We're not quite there, Councillor Sinfield, just yet.
We could change it as a move in a second. 6 months instead of 12.
Yeah, I just thought that it would be in the company system. I just want 6 months. Sure. I think it should be done again.
Should we not have a policy in place before on the other day? Because I imagine we'll be having this discussion again.
We just got to get the motion up. First, Council.
Yeah, but it's not going to do that.
No, we're just going to.
It's not going to show up, yeah, is it?
Can I do that again?
No.
Can you do that? Can you just pass it to the and show the councillors on the other side?
We're off. I'm not going.
Programming.
Oh, I picked up
that. That'll cost a bit. That's great. That'll be easy. Yeah.
So, councillors. Yeah, I'm going to take it's just going to show you on the screen what the proposed motion from the Deputy Mayor. The Mayor will work to receive that or not, and then we'll look for a second to sign. Let's get the wording up on the screen for you.
It's very close to the mark. Can you see that? There it is.
There it is.
Okay, Councillor Cameron has moved that the Australian flag is flown at the Westbury Council Chambers this Australia Day, with a flag policy to be discussed and implemented within the next 12 months. Councillor Cameron moved that. Councillor Kelly's already indicated that he would second that. Happy to second that, Councillor. I'll accept the motion there. Open for discussion, councillors. Through the mic, please. Sorry, before you go there, I'm sorry, Councillor Cameron, do you want to add anything before I go to...
I think what Mr. Scott said in question time sort of really sums it up. But there's no. I understand it's difficult being on a public holiday, but for me, there's no reason that it can't be flown on a day of significance. And I do appreciate that we will need to have a discussion about it and review it for next time. But I think I might have said a similar thing in about April, where we talked about flying the rainbow flag, and we discussed wanting to have a further discussion about it. And we're here, you know, a few months later, and we haven't discussed about it. So putting that time frame on it really for me just is to keep me accountable to make sure that we bring it back for discussion at a workshop.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Kelly.
I would just thought it would be a relatively what would you call it, an expectation it would be flown on Australia Day. I was actually surprised that it hadn't been done in the past. So quite happy to support the motion.
Thank you. General Manager?
So in reading the motion that has been moved, I guess the practicalities would be that the Australian flag will remain flying from the 25th after close of the council offices, so it will remain up. It won't be lit overnight, and if the weather is poor, which I haven't checked, it'll just remain there until Monday when we reopen. So that's what would occur if the motion is passed.
Thanks, Chairman. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Doran.
I'm through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm certainly supportive of the motion. I'd like to discuss the potential of an amendment to 3 months to be discussed and implemented within 3 months as opposed to 12.
General Manager, you have thoughts?
Yes, I do have a thought. I'll wait, Councillor, and see if there's a seconder for the amendment.
Yep.
Am I allowed to speak on?
So Councillor Dornoff has moved an amendment, which is for a 3 month period. Is there a seconder for that amendment?
I'll second it to move.
Councillor House has
been before I'd hold it.
Councillor House has seconded the amendment. So we've got an amendment to the motion, which is for 3 months from Councillor Dornoff and Councillor House. Now, General Manager.
So, he's going to let this pass because I think that a 12-month period is appropriate and we will be able to achieve it within the 12 months. If you talk about the terminology being implemented, which is the wording that the Deputy Mayor and Councillor Kelly have elected to choose, it means that policy will have to be developed, workshopped, approved by Council and then put in place. And I find that very unlikely to be achieved within a 3 month window.
Thanks, General Manager. Councillor Temple.
Yeah, could we be reminded, Mr. Mayor, of the protocol of flying a flag at night, please?
Yep, we'll have to go and find that. I haven't got it to hand at the moment, Councillor Temple. We'll look for our Australian representative, they might be looking at it right now. You think there's a protocol that says that we can't leave the flag out overnight, Councillor Temple, or are you just wanting to clarify?
Mayor, on indulgence from the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, the flag should be raised no earlier than first light and should be lowered no later than dusk. The flag may only be flown at night when illuminated.
Right. So we'll actually be breaching the policy if it's not illuminated.
Protocol.
Can't someone just give me a flag and I'll walk around in the morning and put it up?
General Manager.
So, no, because it's locked. The ability to get it up is a locked issue. No, you wouldn't have the key.
So, a point of clarification, if this motion is successful, we will be, as a result, requiring a staff member to attend on the public holiday to raise and lower the flag.
If one is available and willing to, we can request them to under Council's Enterprise Agreement. Say that I've had anybody at this point lined up to do that.
Yeah, Councillor Sidbill.
What does illuminated mean?
Surely not a torch.
Surely the front of the building has a fair bit of light around it, given where it's here. Has it got some sort of standard as fluxes and
directionality, etc.?
On indulgence, Mayor, the definition of illuminated is lit with bright lights. The logical response would be that it needs to be directly illuminated, so not by coincidence, but by directly shining a light on the flag. So having surrounding lights would be insufficient.
Supplementary question?
Sure.
I take it's the flagpole mechanism itself that's locked. The flagpole is accessible from the street.
So the pole is the pole, the ability to raise it is locked?
Yes. So my question is, given Councillor Temple's earlier offer, can he be issued with a key the day before to operate the mechanism and give the key back on Monday?
That you're all raising valid points, and this is why it's not as simple as was first raised. I believe that there's only one key, Councillor.
I'll get one cut, eh?
So, with the indulgence of the councillors that sit around here at the moment, then I'll make the offer as Mayor to secure the key and raise it on the morning of Australia Day. So I'm coming to the breakfast, which is just across the road at the RSL. And at some stage later that day, I will remove the flag with the key if the councillors are happy for me to do that, and if the general manager's happy for me to do that.
Will you require training?
I'm sure I will require training. I actually will, Councillor. Don't worry. It's not an easy up and down, I'm sure. General Manager, would you be happy with that for next
Friday,
the current Australia Day that's coming up?
If you'd like to meet, you can do that, yep.
Does that satisfy everyone's here at the moment? Your motion, Lockie?
Yeah, just a bit.
We've got the motions on the table. We're just went in a roundabout way for what we're doing there.
I would say about the motion.
Yes, so back to the motion. Councillor Dorn offers.
So we're actually only talking about the amendment. The amendment. Before the motion can be dealt with.
Yep.
Have we got a seconder?
So Councillor House, second the motion. The amended motion.
I would like to speak to that amendment.
That's good, because that's where we're at, Councillor.
Okay, good. I don't support it. I agree with the General Manager's comment that it takes time to fix the policy. I fully support the original motion and we'll be voting for it. I don't support the amendment. I don't believe it is necessary to put that time frame on it, and I think it's irrelevant to associate the policy and the debate around the policy with the pre-existing decision that was made in April last year regarding a different flag.
Thanks, Councillor Dunman. Other councillors? Councillor Dornoff? You have moved the motion, Councillor. I'll go to the other councillors first, if that's all right. You can respond. Yeah, I'll take question six. Councillor Kelly?
Look, I totally agree with Ben. I think we need to get it right, and this will give us the time frame to which and hopefully get it right.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. Any other discussion, councillors? The amended motion, remember, not the original motion.
Happy to support the amendment.
Happy to support the amendment.
The amendment is?
The amendment is?
3 months.
It's been 3 months. You get to sum up, Councillor Dorn. Anything else, Councillor? Any other discussion, councillors?
So we're just voting on the amendment?
On the amendment.
And then we're going to have...
Yes, we will.
Then we'll go back.
If the amendment goes through, Councillor, it will be the motion.
Right.
If this amendment goes through, it will become the motion.
So there'll be no further discussion. Well, I'd like to have a say then. Thank you. So this has obviously been sprung on us today, but not really, because it's been 10 years. 10 years is a long time. So I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm really happy that we do things on the 25th of January, because I would like to see the date of Australia Day changed. I would like to note that for our First Nations people, it is a day that is triggering. And just as, and forgive me, Councillor Temple, some policies that we've discussed today have been triggering. Australia Day is triggering for our First Nations people. I love Australia. I am so grateful that I was born in this fabulous country we have the most amazing lifestyle. I love our country. Please don't hear that I don't. But I also love our First Nations people. I would like to acknowledge the hardship that they have experienced for generations. I would like to acknowledge their absolutely amazing resilience that they are now, especially our Tasmanian Aboriginal people, reforming their language, rebuilding their culture, despite efforts of many, many people in the past who came from other shores who we've tried to destroy it. So I love our country. I'm sorry I'm rambling on. I love our country. I love our flag. I'd like to see the Union Jack gone, but oh well. But I can't support this motion because of my love and kindness towards our First Nations people.
Thanks, Councillor.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussions on the amended motion before I go back to the mover? And so I've got to get Councillor House as the seconder before I come back to you as the mover, Councillor. Councillor House, anything to...
Nothing to add on.
Right, Councillor Dornoff, you are the mover of the motion. You may well.
Thank you kindly, Mr Mayor. Firstly, if we backtrack to Councillor Dudman's comments, I'd like to reiterate my point and provide further clarity as to the date and time for the 3 months. There was at least a verbal commitment by this council to implement a strategy for a flag policy last year in April, which co-aligned with obviously Ida Hobbit Day. That is a date and time. It has no relevance to my amended motion date. It is merely suggesting that if we as a council suggest that we will look into a policy, that that should be done within a 12-month period and not an open-ended 24-month period. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. So I'm going to put the amended motion up for vote at the moment. And the amended motion sits there at the moment that the Australian flag is flown to Westbury Council Chambers. This Australia Day with the flag policy be discussed and implemented within the next 3 months.
That's the amendment?
That's the amendment.
If it passes, that becomes
yes,
the motion.
That's right.
If it doesn't, we go back to the...
Correct. If this amendment is passed, it becomes the motion. If it doesn't, we go back to the original motion. Everyone's clear on that? I'll ask you to raise your hand and say aye for the amended motion as it sits. Councillors Dornoff, Sinfield, Temple, House. Those against? Johnston, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Loader. The motion is lost. We now go back to the amended motion.
Original.
Sorry, the original motion. I hope this doesn't happen every council meeting. Anyway, the original motion, which is that the Australian flag is flown at the Westbury Council Chambers this Australia Day with a flag policy being discussed, implemented within the next 12 months. Move, Councillor Cameron. Seconded, Councillor Kelly. I think you two have had your discussion. I think it's now open to the other councillors for discussion on this particular motion. If anybody wants to say anything, that's fine. If not...
No, I'm going to.
Councillor Dudman.
I agree with a lot of the sentiments that Councillor Lotus raised, but I've said every Australia Day that I will participate in our national celebrations, whatever they may be, until the date is changed. I also note that I'm the only person in this room who for the entirety of my life, Australia Day has been on the 26th of January. For everyone else, it came in 1994. So whilst I am more than happy to fight for tradition, I don't think 30 years is good enough to be one. So I absolutely support changing the date, but in the meantime I will support flying the flag on Australia Day, which is currently the 26th of January.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other discussion, councillors? I class myself as a very patriotic Australian. I would love Woolworths to still be handing out Australia gear as well, but they're choosing not to, even though it was Chinese made probably, but anyway. We are not patriotic enough as Australians, but Australia Day is Australia Day as it's the date is at the moment. And that's where we're at the moment. And as Councillor Dudman said, when that date changes, then I'm sure we'll celebrate another day at some stage. I'm happy to support this motion. Anybody else, councillors? I've got to find out where I am, actually, who moved it. Righto, there we are. Nothing else? Sum me up. Councillor Kelly, you were the seconder.
Fine, thank
you. Councillor Cameron, as the mover. Righto, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. And against? Councillor Loader is against. All councillors are for. It'll be up to, if you're happy for me to make the offer as I did to get the key.
You stated that a mere councillor.
He may be able to share the honours, John.
He might be able to put it down, John.
He won't know where the key is after a while, John. I'll have it in my pocket. I might just give it to you to take down later.
You're going to need a big key ring.
I'd imagine there'd be more than one key kicking about.
I don't think there is.
Oh, you only have one key.
Well, this has probably been meant to someone.
Oh, we're still going to the meeting. Sorry, we haven't finished the meeting. Sorry.
We need a motion
to close the meeting, please. Oh, Councillor Kelly and Councillor Dudman, we're closing the meeting. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Audio recording off. Thank you. And we're heading to closed session.